Good morning.
Morning.
How's everyone today? Good. Good. Glad you're with us today. Today is Boy Scout Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lakeside United Methodist Church has been involved with this troop for many years. Lane's going to give us a rundown. We're checking the years back there, and the Eagle Scouts that we've had have come through this troop here, and it's been awesome. So we're blessed to have the Boy Scouts with us today, and they will do a presentation here of the colors shortly. But we do want to welcome them and their families here today. So we're glad you're with us today. Just a few quick announcements. Connect cards, please fill those out and drop them in the offering plate as it comes around today. That is your attendance, marking your attendance with us as well. And any messages you need to get to myself or the office, that would be a good way to do that. A reminder that our healing and communion service is this Wednesday at 6 p.m. So if you need a prayer or just to come and spend some quality time with the Lord, Wednesday at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary, we'll be doing that as well. And then we just follow that up with a Holy Communion. And then at 7 o'clock, our Bible study is continuing. It's revival. It's Adam Hamilton's study on John Wesley and how we can live out the Wesleyan theology in our world today. So it's been a really good study, and we're looking forward to continuing that in the weeks ahead. So hopefully you can join us for that as well. Next Sunday, a reminder, United Methodist Men Sunday. So be sure to come out and encourage your United Methodist men to come and be a part of the service. It's just a time of fellowship. They will be presenting the service next Sunday. So we look forward to that as well. So be sure and be here next Sunday, the men, and help support the men in that as well. Our district leadership training, we have a training next Sunday at 1:30 at United Methodist Church of the Palm Beaches, and that's open to everyone. I would encourage you, Reggie McNeil, he's an author, a pastor, United Methodist pastor, and he's presenting his book, Get Off Your Donkey. See, you're intrigued, aren't you? So come and hear him speak. We've been studying his book in our clergy group that I'm a part of. So I'd encourage you to come out. It's 1:30 next Sunday. So after church, we can have a lunch and then head up to West Palm Beach and have this training event with Reggie McNeil. So hopefully you all can come out for that as well. I think that's enough announcements for today. Be sure and read your bulletins. There's a lot of information in there. There are new newsletters on the podium in the narthex. So if you haven't gotten your newsletter this month, be sure to pick one up in the calendar as well. I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Yeah.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Color guard. Attention. Color guard. Present for the arch. Color guard, post colors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Join the pledge to Christian flag.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here on
this Sunday, but also because it is Scout Sunday. I'm Lane Lobsher, the charter representative for Boy Scout Troop 204, who's been here since 1971. So this year will mark our 46th anniversary. We have 42 Eagle Scouts now.
Wow.
We want to thank the Methodist men who are the main support group for us, but we also want to thank you, Lakeside, for all your dedication and support so that we can continue the good work that comes from Boy Scouting. At this time, I'd like to recognize some of the leaders that are here with us. Mike Corbett and his wife Sharon, if you folks would stand. Who else? Bill. And of course, he is the soon to be Eagle Scout, Mr. Blake Hamill. How awesome. Role models in our community, and you folks here at Lakeside. God willing, we will continue this proud tradition. Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you.
Happy are those who walk blamelessly before God.
Blessed are those who walk in God's ways.
Happy are those who seek God with pure hearts.
Blessed are those who take shelter in God's teachings.
Happy are those who come together in unity.
Blessed are those who choose life.
God invites us to choose life this day. Could it really be that simple? Could the vast majority of our uncertainties, our insecurities, our gut-wrenching anguish fade away if we simply decide to choose life today? The hardest things in life are the least complicated. Let us always choose life. Let us now do our opening hymn, which is For the Beauty of the Earth, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
How you doing today?
Good.
What's your favorite? You say you're tired, not at all. So be in the meantime.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would take taking better care of myself. Any amens out there to that? What's your favorite food?
Ooh, cake. Chocolate.
Chocolate? Cake, chocolate? Chicken?
Pizza.
Come on, say pizza, Sophia. What's your favorite food?
Ice cream.
Pizza.
Steak.
I like Pei-Wei caramel chicken.
So good.
With babies, what do we eat? Baby food. We drink milk, right? What do we eat when we get old?
Food.
That almost turned into a trick question, didn't it? I forgot who my audience was back here behind me. Baby food, right? Milk. We do come full circle, don't we? Most important things to us. When we are young in our faith and we've just come to know Jesus Christ, we call that drinking the milk of Christ. Paul talks about it today. We're going to talk about it in our scripture reading, and I'm going to speak some more about it. When we're new in our faith and we don't know Jesus very well, we get spoon-fed milk. Where do you think you are with Jesus? Are you still drinking milk? You're young, yes. How many of these folks out here do you think are still drinking milk? Oh, I heard some. A rumble went among the crowd. So get ready because I'm going to talk to you all in a minute. When we are young in our faith, we drink milk. You know what the Bible says? When we grow in our faith and we've accepted Jesus, am I knocking this off, Gary?
You're okay.
And we accept Jesus, we got to take a bite of meat right off the bone. You ever chewed on a bone? You like ribs? You like ribs? I love ribs. You eat the bones too? But you sure clean them off. My family says I'm the cleanest rib eater that ever lived. And when I'm done with those bones, they shine. I put a shine on them. Do you eat ribs like that? You want to get every last little bit of meat off that bone, don't you? Well, when we become followers of Christ and we become strong in our faith, we want to get right down to the bone. We even chew on the bone sometimes. How many of you are chewing on the bone of Christ? I see that not many of them raise their hand for that. I think we got some milk drinkers out there still in you. So it's okay if you guys are still drinking milk, but look out there. I think some of those folks are too. I won't turn around looking at them now because I feel daggers in my back. Move over here and move over here. So that's what I want you to think about today. As you grow in your faith and you learn more about Jesus and about God and how God is here to help us and to do things for us and for us to have someone to pray to that answers our prayers, we start getting the meat off the bone. It's like getting a rack of ribs. I went to Swampy's up on the Rainbow River a week ago, and I got a full rack of ribs. You know how long that worked? I've never seen a pig have so many ribs. They have strange pigs up in Central Florida. Those pigs have like 40 bones in their rib cage. And I'm a big eater, but I can only eat half of them. I took the other half back. So when we grow in our faith, we gnaw on the bone. We got to eat meat. We got to dig into the, that's like digging into a good meal. That's how we learn about Christ and how we follow Christ. Does that make sense? I thought if I put it in the context of food, we'd get it. We're Methodists. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for giving us the meat on the bone. Father, we must move beyond drinking milk in our faith. Father, we must move beyond just being a child in the way we think about our relationship with you. So, Father, bless these young people today. Give them your courage and your strength to seek out and even further and deepen their relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good deal. Okay. You're off. Time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. Today we've got an opportunity once again to come and to bring our burdens and our joys and praises. Is anyone bringing joys and praises to church today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love to see that because God loves to hear those as well. It's just not about what our needs are today. It's what He's done for us and how He's answered our prayers. So I have a list of folks this morning that need our prayers, and we're going to lift them up and continue to keep them in prayer throughout the week. So keep your bulletin with you and that prayer list and these names here. Some of these may be on there, maybe not, but we'll be sending out an email list tomorrow as well. So be sure to be in prayer for one another. That's what we're here for, is to support one another. Here are these folks this morning that need our prayers. David Shute gave me a call this morning. He's not feeling well. My mom, Helen Branson, I left on Wednesday, and she went to the hospital on Thursday, so apparently she missed me so much she went to the hospital. But she got out last night, but she's had some dehydration and infection problems, so my mom lifted up as well. We're continuing to pray for Anna, Barbara Russell's daughter as well. She's continuing to do testing and to find out what's going on with her health as well. We continue to lift up Karen Snyder as well and her cancer, ongoing battle with cancer. Her family, Devin and David, her husband, that's had surgery and healing for his surgery. Donna Harris, I think Donna's still homebound. She broke her knee or leg or part of near her knee. She's been out for several weeks now just for healing for her. And she's asked that her sister, Debbie, and brother-in-law, Jim. Jim has had some serious health issues as well and has asked us to pray for them. So Jim and Debbie, their faith to be strong as well. Robin Ryle is lifting up Miranda, her daughter. She's been a couple of days in the hospital as well, and she's doing better. We just continue healing her health as well. James Benfield is being lifted up. He's had a brain hemorrhage and a stroke, and that's a friend of Max's, and he as well has had heart attacks now after the stroke, so he's really in serious need as well. Kathy Chandler is lifting up her daughter Bethany and family. And Kathy is starting a new job tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, good for you, Kathy. We'll be praying for you for that as well. And we did get more sad news this week. Damon Knight, and you may remember him from years ago, he's passed away as well. So he hasn't been with us for a while because of failing health. But Damon Knight passed away on February 2nd as well. I know this morning you bring many things with you. We all bring a pretty good bucket full of things with us each day when we travel around. So this is our opportunity now to take those concerns and our praises to the Lord. So would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we are a people that believe, a people that trust, a people that put our whole being in your hands. So Father, this morning as we come here and we've come to seek you in a new way this morning, or maybe an old way with a new feeling. But Father, today we acknowledge our need for you. Father, today we're lifting up loved ones and people we care about, family, friends, co-workers, because we know that you're listening. So Father, today as you listen to our humble prayers, I pray that each life would be changed, and that your grace would continue to pour out upon us the undeserved grace of sinners. Father, we find ourselves of a sinful nature, We also know you heal, you repair, you revitalize us, you rejuvenate us. Father, you give us new life. That new life only comes through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we are grateful today that your Son came here at your request willingly, and he willingly gave himself up to the cross. The cross that each one of us should hang from. But Jesus says, no, I will stand in your place. So, Father, today we're grateful for that gift. Today, we're humbled to be in your presence. Today, we seek to renew our relationship with you. So, Father, today I pray that each one of us would leave this place with a new sense of urgency. The urgency that says, why wait until tomorrow? Why put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today? So, Father, nudge us out of our seats in our faith. Let us get off the sidelines and join the march of your people. Father, from the sidelines, we see a world that is crumbling, a world that is seemingly lost in itself. Father, today we pray that you would be with our nation and its leaders, that your voice would ring in their ears, and that they would listen. Father, today we pray for a darkened world, and for that we're sad and scared. But Father, we can trust you to walk this journey with each one of us. So Father, protect us in our own community here in Lake Worth. Let Lakeside continue to be a church that reaches out to the unchurched. Let us open our doors and our arms to those that are lost and wandering. Let us be that church that makes them feel welcome. So Father, today we're grateful. We're grateful for the Boy Scouts and the men that lead them, for all the Eagle Scouts that have prepared themselves for manhood, for all the Scouts that come here seeking the knowledge and the relationship with others that will make them strong men in our world. So, Father, we're grateful for Troop 204 and for all those people that have been involved with it, the families, the mothers, the fathers, brothers and sisters of these young men. We pray a blessing upon each one of them. So, Father, today we're grateful to be in this place and recognizing you as our Savior. As we pray together, let's take these words to heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth.
come to our time of worship where we can give back a portion of what God has entrusted to us. Our very lives are a gift from God. What we do with that gift is up to us. Will we choose to embrace the life given? Will we share the blessings we have received with others? The choice is ours, but it is in giving that we receive, and it is in sharing that we taste the fullness of life. With grateful hearts, let us offer back to God our gifts this day, that others may be blessed through our giving. Would the ushers please come forward?
just went back up to the Rainbow River for a few days. I left on Wednesday, and we were up there with our men's group a week before. We have a special group of my friends, my reunion brothers from the Mayus group that went up these last few days. I like to go because I don't do anything. I get to be the one to just take it easy. We all sort of work together on that. But I tell you, on that river, if you've ever been to the Rainbow River, Rainbow Springs, what a beautiful, beautiful place that is. And I just sit and marvel at God's gift to us for creation. And we talked about creation a little bit the last couple of weeks. And as we talked about in our group there on the river with the men and with our United Methodist men that went up as well, where are we in our relationship with Christ? I wasn't joking when I was talking to the children about some of us are still being spoon-fed the milk. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. But we live our entire lives not seeking the deeper relationship with Christ that He wants with each of us. Amen. So let me get started this morning. I'm going to read for you from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 9. We've been spending some time in Corinthians. And you've got to remember the story of why Paul was writing these letters to the church in Corinth. Because they were a bunch of knuckleheads. You know any churches that are filled with knuckleheads?
Right here.
I'm not pointing any fingers. Isn't it beautiful to see all these people in the choir? Good grief. Good job, Wendell. Have you resorted to paying them after my example of paying the congregation to come to church? You're almost paying them to come and be in the choir. Wow, we have a paid choir now. Let me read this scripture to you and we'll move along. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people, but like unspiritual people, like babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink instead of solid food, because you weren't up to it yet. Now you are still not up to it because you are still unspiritual. When jealousy and fighting exist between you, aren't you unspiritual and living by human standards? When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who help you to believe each one had a role given to them by the Lord. I planted Apollos water, but God made it grow. Because of this, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. But the only one who is anything is God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together. But each one will receive their own reward for their own labor. We are God's co-workers and you are God's field, God's building. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray this morning that these words from Paul will wean us from the milk of our faith. That will encourage us to go after the solid food. So, Father, let these words in my heart and the meditations that I speak be only from you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what do you think? What kind of people came to church this morning? All kinds of people? All kinds of people looking for revival. Looking for invigoration in their spiritual life. The first great awakening in the 1730s and 40s, people became passionately and emotionally involved in their spiritual life. The 1730s and 40s. The second great awakening in the 1820s and 40s, camp meetings broke out, revival services. An estimated 20,000 people attended the service in Kentucky. The Baptist Church grew, the Methodist Church grew. Third Great Awakening, 1858 to 1908. It was a missionary awakening. People wanted to go out and spread the gospel. Dwight Moody started this college. YMCA was developed. The Salvation Army. These groups that wanted to go out and help others. We've been praying for revival since that day, haven't we? Amen. We've been praying for something to come and stir us into action. Pastors have. I don't know if the congregations have, because that means they've got to get busy for God. But your clergy standing in front of you on a Sunday morning has passionately been praying that you would see the need in the world and do something about it. There's been something on my heart recently in several aspects of my life. And it happens everywhere. People come to me and say, "Hey, that needs to be done." Well, don't tell me. You saw it first. Do it. Why are you coming to me and telling me something needs to be done? I don't need to know it needs to be done. You already knew it. Do it. I'm getting pretty tired of people coming to me and saying, "You know, we need to do something about that." No, we don't. You need to do something about it. I can't do everything. Believe it or not, I can't do everything. You know, I've only been a pastor for 6 years. The first couple years, I thought I could do everything. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. But you know what? I thought I could. And if I kept with that theory, we're all doomed. I can't do anything alone without you folks jumping on board and being a part of the revival. We've been praying for that for many, many years now. Blah, 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 blah. Is God dead? Is God not listening to our prayers? Isn't there a movie in that title? Is God dead? God is not dead. God is waiting for his church to wake up. Can you imagine God sitting up there tapping his toe? Good grief, these people are going to get up. Give up off your donkeys. Jesus rode a donkey. And Jesus got off the donkey, didn't he? That just came to me. That's pretty nice. Even Jesus was on the donkey. And he got off. He got off. So I asked you, what type of people came to church today? Now, some of these, we fall into a couple of these categories. The first category of you folks that walked through the door today were sinners, right? Yes. I came in a sinner this morning. The rest of you? Yes. Well, now you have the sin of lying. If you didn't raise your hand, we're all sinners. Yes. Paul refers to this type of person as one without the Spirit. How many of you come in here today and did not have the feeling of the Holy Spirit? There's cycles in our lives. We certainly do. Paul says, one without Spirit. The spiritually dead. That's a sad thing. Spiritually dead is a sad thing. Paul says we're not to blame the worldly person because they're not able to grasp the things of God. They're still. Those people haven't even started sipping the milk yet. Those folks haven't even made the first step yet. The second type of person that came to church today is the seeker. How many of you come in here seeking God for the very first time? Many of us have been seeking God our whole lives, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, John Wesley spoke of this. This ties in beautifully with our study we're doing. He went out and preached to the unchurched. You folks are church, but let me give you a caveat to that. Good old John Wesley. You know, he was an Anglican priest. From the time he died, he would never have left the Anglican church. But you know what? His church got fed up with him. He would preach this grace and salvation in the church, and the church would say, hey, wait a minute, you're getting too chummy with those sinners out there. They're not that good. And after a while, the church said, hey, dude, you're going to mess up a good thing for us. Get out of here. We don't want you to preach here anymore. His father was a priest. When he died, he was buried next to his church. The church in Oxford. Right, Marty? Oxford, England. The Sunday that he got thrown out of his own church, there was about 70 or 80 people in worship that day. Those were the high and mighty, the pauper, you know, the high people. They were the cream of the crop. They sat in there and they studied the Bible and sang their hymns, the ho-hum hymns. And he said, John Wesley, don't come in here with that garbage you're talking. So the next Sunday, he got on his father's crypt beside the church, and he climbed up on top of it, and he started preaching this salvation and grace from God. Preaching to seekers. 300 to 400 people showed up, they estimated. The next Sunday, he climbs up on the crypt to preach. Now, granted, they're having their nice little church service inside with all those high and mighty folks. They're looking out the window saying, good grief, why are there 300 or 400 people out there? The next Sunday, how many people show up? 70 or 80 for the inside church. 30 to 40,000 people show up the next Sunday.
Oh, I love it.
And he preached to the unchurched, the coal miners, the poor people, the people who couldn't feed their kids. Is that John? John Wesley could draw a crowd, couldn't he, with this new message. The new message was God loves you, and you're worth it, and God's grace is going to pour out upon you. The seekers came there. Today, I hope we have some seekers here. That means new people are coming into this relationship with Christ. You're seeking Him out. You want more than the milk. You want to start eating solid food. You want ribs on the bone.
Amen.
If you're here as a seeker, Jesus Christ said, knock and the door shall be opened. You've got to seek Him out. Jesus is just waiting there for you to knock. And the door will be open. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is in the garden, knocking on the door. What's unique about that picture?
No doorknob.
There's no doorknob. Where's the doorknob? On your side. On your side. I love that picture. The third type of people that are in here today, and there's a few of you, the ones that are sold out for Christ. Who here today says they're sold out? I'm all in. I'm not afraid to speak about God in my workplace. At the grocery store. At the gas station.
Amen. Amen.
Wherever it is you see where someone can use a kind word.
Amen.
If you're calling yourself sold out, God bless you.
Amen.
It's hard to do. It's a challenge. It's scary. Are you a part of God's army?
Amen.
What do armies do?
They march.
They fight. Armies get hurt, don't they? When the enemy is shooting back at you, you know, there's a big difference when you join the army and you go out on a firing range and you shoot one way. Stand there, bang, 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 shoot. What's happening when you're in war? Somebody's shooting back at you, aren't they? If you're in God's army, people are shooting back at you. Are you still in boot camp?
Basic.
Have you even enlisted in the army? Have you made colonel yet? Have you made commander-in-chief yet? You got to be a part of the army to move up, don't you? That's the point. You've got to be a member of the army. We like the sold out people. But the fourth kind of people that come to church are shallow in their faith. We talk about a relationship being broad and deep. What's the best? Broad is pretty shallow, isn't it? Scraping the surface, but it's all over the place. If you're a deep believer, you have roots down to the foundation. What's the foundation? Our roots go down to the foundation. We're not easily knocked over, are we? So there are people that are shallow in their faith. 3:1 that I read from you today. I do not read to you as spiritual people, but as worldly. You're mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. Folks, most of us, and today I've added another one to you today, have lived quite a few years, haven't we? We've had a long time to put down some deep roots. How many of us topple over in the first little gust of wind? You ever seen a banyan tree? And they can be 200 feet across. And the wind comes up and they fall over and all their roots are right on top of the ground. Almost laying on top of the ground. The roots are almost as big as the top of the tree, but it doesn't hold the tree up, does it? Their roots are not deep. They're shallow. Are we shallow Christians? Are our roots only on the surface? And the first hint of trouble, oh my gosh, what has God done to me now? People come to me and say, why is God doing this to me? What did I do to God to deserve this? Then we say, well, okay, let's look at your history. What have you done? They've done it to themselves. God's been sitting over there. Well, when you get around to it, come on back. People, there's people that have shot their own feet off.
Yeah.
And they can't stand up anymore. God does not do these things to us. We do them to ourselves for the most part. Where have we gotten in trouble and then said, why, God, has this happened? We have shallow faith. God, how did you do this to me? Well, let's look at some of the choices you've made. Well, there's a reason why you're in this mess. Well, there's another reason why you're in this mess. You know what? There's another reason why. You know, we come up with probably a whole list of reasons why you're in this mess. And the first thing you do, oh God, what did you do this to me for? What did I do now to deserve this? Folks, we've got to be sold out for Jesus. We've got to be willing to spend some time with Him. I'm going to raise my hand here. Who thinks they spend enough time with Jesus? Anyone feel like, man, I got enough Jesus time. I don't need to do anything else. I'm not raising my hand either, and I'm your pastor. Folks, we've got to spend more time with Jesus. When Jesus sets the table, we come up here on the first Sunday of the month and we sit at Jesus' table. And He gives us bread. And He gives us juice. Here's what we're going to do. I shouldn't say this, but I'm saying it jokingly. Next time we do communion, I'm going to bring ribs. Who'll help me cook about 50 slabs of ribs? Awesome. Come on up here, boy. All right, Barbara, we're going to need some money. If I put slabs of ribs up here for everybody, would you come and be ready? That's the thing. Are you ready to take the bite? If you come up here not ready, I'm just going to wave them in front of your nose. They smell so good. Are you ready to take the big bite?
Amen.
And if you're not, me and Bob and the Bill are going to have a lot of ribs to eat. Folks, we've got to be ready to take a bite of the meat off the bone. We've got to be ready to be sold out for Jesus. Has anyone told you the world's going to end someday? The wind is going to blow, they say, when that time comes. Are you going to topple over? Are you going to stand strong? Those are things we need to be thinking about today, folks. Those are things that make a difference today for us. Okay, have I made you uncomfortable enough for one day? You know why I stand up here and tell you this? Because I love you. I love you. I'm going to heaven. I want to see some of you there when I get there. I want to see all of us. Are all of you going to go? How do you know? Challenging. This is the challenging part of this. Folks, we're going to be again up yonder. I want to see you there. At Christmas time, I preached about you have a gift, open it up. Oh, that's a beautiful gift. Put it in a closet so no one can see it. That's stupid, isn't it?
Yes.
That's stupid. Jesus has given you a gift. Don't run and hide it. Give it to someone else. Help someone else open their Christmas present. And it doesn't have to be on December 25th. In Acts 15, Mark had deserted Paul, and Paul thought, boy, Mark, he's a shallow Christian. Don't send him with me anymore. He wrote a letter. Paul was good at writing letters. He writes a letter ahead and said, hey, take Mark and go off to Galilee to the resort. I don't want him with me anymore. He's a shallow Christian. But in Paul's last letter, in 2 Timothy 4:11, apparently Mark made a comeback because Paul writes to Timothy and says, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. In Philemon, Paul calls Mark his fellow worker. You want to be a fellow worker?
Yeah.
It's time. It's okay if we haven't done the greatest job up till now. Even old Mark went shallow and went deep. Folks, we got a chance to do it over. Don't you love God? We get do-overs. We get do-overs. So let's do it over. Let's make a commitment this morning to say, God, I'm going to open the door. Again, if necessary. But let's build on that relationship. Paul was telling the church in Corinth, get off your donkey and get your act together. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are awesome. Why you love us so much, I have no clue. But Father, the grace that pours down upon us, as undeserved as it is, we love the opportunity to say once again, let's try it again. Let's go deeper. Let's sell out for Christ. So Father, be with us now as we leave this place. Let us leave this place with a sense of urgency, because we don't know when the time will come. There may be some questions to be answered. So Father, bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our closing hymn, My Hope Is Built.
Thank you.